Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The Staff and Graf Podcast.
This is weird. My lock's been drilled, so I open the door and my steering wheel is missing.
In links or salad?
You know what? You're trying very hard not to get sued.
You can have all the talent in the world skating around, but if you don't have a goaltender, it does not matter.
Team Tidy Business, baby.
Well, Rachel, you know how we had, first of all, the lights directly in front of your face again, so I cannot see you, which is awesome. You know how we have eras on this podcast, you know, we had, you know, my condo era. Well, obviously you had the era with Ian before me.
Yep.
And then we had, my condo era. And then we had your condo era.
Yep.
Very briefly, your past condo era that was like literally like 4 or 5 weeks. And then we had, the Zoom era.
The Zoom era,
Then we had our studio era without mics because we thought that the wireless mics that came with our cameras would work.
That lasted 2 episodes. Lasted, and producer Connor was gonna kill us.
I thought it lasted one. Like we realized they weren't actually wireless mics, and we were gonna get beaten with hammers by Connor. And so now, and then we had our studio era, like our real studio era with mics, and now we have our studio era with mic stands.
We do.
Look at all this hands-free stuff. That's great. It's awesome.
I kind of love it because now neither one of us is looks like a dork holding a microphone.
No, it's so much better. I cannot tell you. Not just to take you behind the curtain, fellow listeners, like our lovely producer, who will go unnamed. It's Connor. What's great about him is that he has to edit out all the little noises and stuff that come from the mics and come from everything. And so when you're holding a mic, every once in a while you rustle around, you move on this couch or whatever, and lo and behold, that picks up on the mic, and Connor would have to go out and painstakingly paint it out, basically. Now he doesn't have to do that as much, which is very nice. So shout out to you, Connor. I'm sure we will find a way to make your life very, very difficult, regardless. But, Rachel.
Oh, we absolutely will. That is, like, the thing that we're experts at. Mm-hmm. Is like, we'll just get feedback from Connor, who'll be like, which one of you was, the microphone?
Yeah, you know, which one of you were like grinding your teeth right up into the mic? Which one are you doing that? It's crazy. But Rachel, we talk about eras, and a big era finally closed last night because we finally, and this is to give a celebration instead. So I'm not going to say we have to talk about the stupid fucking Coyotes. Like I say, every time I say we get to talk about the Coyotes basically one last time, because they are now, they are now an inactive franchise.
Which
I don't think we've ever seen. Yeah. I haven't seen that. Has that ever happened before?
No, like they deprecated the Flames and then they became the Thrashers eventually. Deprecated.
Okay.
Then they deprecated the Jets, and then the Jets returned as the Jets because I'm pretty sure like the fan base in Winnipeg was going to revolt if they called them anything else.
Yeah, and also I think Mark Chipman never, I don't think he ever thought anything else.
Like, yeah, that man was like, this is what it's called.
This is the Jets. I'm bringing the Jets back to Winnipeg. That's what he was
saying. Yeah, the Jets are coming back. And now, today, we get told that their sale has been approved to Smith Entertainment Group. And God bless Pierre LeBrun for reporting this, because his mentions have to be a tire fire. It is highly likely that the team, which will be called Utah, not Salt Lake, is going to go into the season without a name or a logo. And we talked about this with the PWHL and how, like, silly it is. If you are I understand not wanting to rush. I remember the Jets being like, we're going to be the Jets, but we're going to hold back our branding until like September. I understand if you don't have a name or a logo ready to go on April 20th.
Mm-hmm.
I do not understand.
April 18th, actually.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I do not understand if you don't have a logo ready to go on September the 20th. Like, how, if you were so dead set on getting this franchise, you need to have, like, some level of planning. Anthony Stewart had a great point. Call them the Utah Yetis, and then as a giveaway at your first home game, everyone gets a Yeti with a Utah Yeti-like logo mm-hmm. on it, and it's, like, a huge way to, like, get her going. Or call them, like, the Utah Ice, kind of like the Kootenai Ice, and have Yeti be your mascot.
I hate both of those names. I'm going to be honest with you.
I feel like Yeti would be
Real with you. Yeti, literally Utah Yeti sounds like an EASHL name.
Like, it sounds better than the Utah hockey team, which is what they're called right now?
See, you know what's funny is, we were chatting about this in the Dangle Navy group chat, and this is a sentence I never thought I'd ever say, but Ian Tulloch brought up a good point.
God, I miss that guy.
Which is crazy. No, I love Ian. But he looked at, I think it's the University of Utah, what their team name is.
The, like, Utes?
It's the Utes. I know you can't steal it, but I love that. Like, how awesome would it be, like, the Utah Utes? Or just have that as a placeholder or something. Like, you cannot be, like, the Washington Football Club or the whatever.
Yeah, that's a different one because they had to remove a racist name.
You had to remove what was basically a slur.
Yeah.
Like, if you went into a workplace
and
you
word.
Called a Native American person or a Native Canadian person or Indigenous person a redskin, basically, like, you would get fired.
You would,
like,
lose
on
your
the
job
spot.
Immediately.
So I get that. Like, Utah, they should have an, first of all, they're I don't know how much I trust, and I believe Ryan Smith didn't buy the Utah Jazz, like he didn't create the Utah Jazz.
No, he just bought
exactly
them.
He bought them. So I won't pin the fact on him that Utah is called the Jazz when Utah doesn't have jazz. Utah is not known for jazz. Jazz, like, if
or
anything,
music for that matter.
Like, jazz is a predominantly black form of music. It was created by black people. It was created by incredible black musicians. Utah's like the whitest state on the planet.
I absolutely love jazz.
Utah's whiter than Sweden.
Growing up, like, I've loved it. And
yeah,
it actually makes no sense.
So I don't know how much I trust
the Utah Sister Wives, and I
or you or
dying.
Just like Utah Soakers. You know, like, do that. Like, the Utah, I don't know. Like, it's, by the way, I'm not sure. Have you seen, and I don't want to look, I'm not going to jump on anyone for, you know, their religious beliefs or anything, but have you seen the, there's a TikTok series basically where a guy, he goes to BYU campus.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is like the most yes. Mormon, and basically at, like,
I follow this guy.
Yeah.
On
goes around and asks, like, what's your favorite party drink? You know,
and they're like, dirty soda.
And be like,
ginger ale.
I'm a big Perrier guy, like, all that kind of stuff.
Meanwhile, or, I have had a rum and coke while recording this show.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, like,
objectively.
Yeah, you're so quirky and random, Rachel. Oh my gosh. Like, let's oh, Rachel, you drank? No, I know.
It's the dichotomy between, like,
someone stop Rachel, she's crazy. Having a rum and coke on the pod. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. General, I think I've done that maybe twice.
Yeah, and I would have no way to tell because you drink coke on the podcast all the time, so you could just slip some rum in there. I would have no way to tell.
And I'm also one of those people
you can
that,
be buzzed,
like,
all the time.
Unless I am Vegas level drunk, you have no way of knowing if I'm drunk because I keep it together really well until the shots start going down. Then it gets ugly.
Okay.
But in Vegas, that was like a different story. But, like, generally speaking, I try to keep it pretty, like, low key, honestly, because, like, if I'm being honest,
you never know who you run into, right?
Exactly.
Like, you never know.
You don't want to be that guy that gets thrown off an airplane because you're too drunk.
But you don't want to be like Morgan Wallen, who, like, throws a chair off a freaking balcony right next to a police officer and gets arrested. Like, it's crazy.
Probably bad. You know, like, what if that would have hit the cop? Like,
oh,
you
would have.
About,
he'd be in jail right now. Like, be, yeah. Now, back to this. So Utah, like, they won't
have.
Not
gonna have any problems like that in Utah. I can tell you that.
They will definitely. I don't know, man. Sometimes I have a couple Dr. Peppers. I get really hyper and I start throwing chairs. It's crazy.
Oh, Lord.
No, I don't do that because I'm a normal, well-adjusted human being. But
I don't think I've ever thrown a chair in my life. like, actually, I maybe threw a chair when we were playing musical chairs in elementary school, and it's like, all right, get that one out because it's the next round.
I've definitely punched a couple drywall holes. That's for sure.
I've done that.
I've definitely done that. Like, I've definitely had my angsty, like, you know, no one understands me punching the drywall hole, but I don't think I've ever thrown a chair.
Simple Plan, Welcome to
My Life. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. But let's talk about the Coyotes. They had their final game.
Josh Doan being a rookie and probably the prince of Arizona hockey, I would say, in the sense that, like,
Shane Doan, like, so, like, they're all franchise all-time leaders, or franchise faces, really. Shane Doan's the franchise face, regardless,
he's
like, forever.
He's the most important person in the history of that franchise.
Then Josh Doan went to ASU, so played in the same building that he eventually would play in. Drafted by the Coyotes, went in there, scored two goals in his first game. It's as storybook as possible. So it's good that he was able to at least, and it's funny because it mimics exactly what happened with his dad. His dad got drafted. Yeah. His dad played like half a season or a portion of a season with the Winnipeg Jets. And then they moved to Arizona. It's like history repeats, like 20 odd some years later, here we go.
But I also like that they asked Doan to speak after morning skate, and usually you wouldn't have a guy who's only played
Have a rookie speak
10
after morning
NHL
skate,
games when this kind of stuff is going on. But because of what his family means to hockey in Arizona, I thought he was very eloquent in his answer. He didn't give the typical hockey soliloquy of cliches. Like, you could tell he was very thoughtful in his answer, and I really appreciated that, and I thought that was something that could go a long way for the fans of Arizona that are kind of having their team ripped away from them through no fault of their own.
Yeah.
And like, it's not their fault that the Coyotes are leaving. They did not choose 4,500 seat arena. They did not choose to not pay the bills at Gila River.
They didn't choose it, like, because it worked. Like, the thing that people need to realize too, or at least people forget, not, I don't want to preach to you. You don't need to realize anything, but the thing that people forget is, it worked relatively well at the start when they were playing in the Suns building, although there were obstructed seats. So obviously it wasn't like a fully long-term, you know, sort of plan there, but it worked well. Like they were getting when they were in, I believe it was Scottsdale. They were, or in Phoenix, basically they were getting in the Suns building. They were getting good crowds.
When they had a good relationship with the mayor of Scottsdale.
Exactly. And then they took that team and moved it to Glendale, which for that Phoenix sort of area, they were still the Phoenix Coyotes at the time. So like for that Phoenix based fan base, that's like an hour and a half drive away, like with traffic to go see a game. So no one was going to go do it.
Not feasible.
So no one was going to go do it. So it's like, they had a million different owners, and then, you know, Jim Balsillie tried to take him and move him to Hamilton, which, by the way, would have failed.
Yep. 100%.
I'm not sure if any of you guys have been to Hamilton. The last time I was in Hamilton was for,
yeah, we talk about dumping on Salt Lake City. Hamilton, objectively worse.
I'm not sure. Like, listen, the people in Hamilton, they're lovely. They seem nice. I really don't want
to,
like, I don't want
to
seem like it's attacking you, but
Hamilton.
Like, the last time I was in Hamilton was for the Heritage Classic between the Sabres and the Leafs in 2022. They played in Hamilton at Tim Hortons Field. There's no fucking way that place would have housed an NHL team. No chance. No. Not a single chance. I cannot believe Jim Balsillie had the balls to even suggest that. And he obviously got shot down. But
yeah, it's got to be a major metropolis. Like, what are we doing here?
That place is terrifying. Like,
it's an objectively terrifying place to be.
But so they had a great, they had a great look. They played very well. The players played very well. The fans came out in droves. It was a whiteout. It was sort of a celebration. It was it was like celebrating this dead team that was playing in front of you. They won. They beat the Oilers. Even though the Oilers had nothing to play for still. Like, it was, things were.
Oh, Arizona Coyotes money line last night was the freest money imaginable. Mm-hmm. And it was like plus 150. One of my friends is a huge Coyotes fan, has been ever since the Coyotes got to Arizona, like, has had season tickets forever. Was
in like 96 or whatever it was.
Sending me video. Yeah. Yeah. Like, his parents got him because he's like in his mid 30s. So he started going when he was like 6 or 7, I want to say. And like now that he's in his mid 30s, like he has the season tickets and him and his wife go all the time. And he was sending me videos of what it was like to be in the crowd last night. And like the Salt Lake Sucks chants were loud. And you know what? Whether Salt Lake sucks or not is not relevant here. the fans of the Arizona Coyotes have every right yeah. to be upset, and let them grieve their team. Let them feel how they want to feel, because I can't imagine what it's like to be the laughingstock of a league for so long for the reasons that the Coyotes were a laughingstock. Like, the Leafs are a laughingstock in the sense that, like, in the playoffs, they're a clown car.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a well-run organization that Absolutely. Props up arguably half of the league from a revenue perspective, whereas, mm-hmm. like, Arizona straight up wouldn't exist without revenue sharing because they've been so poorly run, and that is not the fault of the fans. And so for them to have their team ripped away is just, it's really heartbreaking, and I'm really glad that they got to go out on a winning note last night, because stomping the Oilers and the best player on the mm-hmm. planet as a sending off is a pretty great way to do it.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to make it too negative, but there are a couple things we have to talk about. Number one is that, and I'm going to say that this was a good thing that it happened.
Okay.
That Alex Morello, the owner, or now former owner, because they are an inactive franchise now, but the owner in the last game did not show up.
It's probably to the game. For the best.
And a lot of people were saying he's a coward, which he is.
That's disrespectful to cowards.
A lot of yes,
this
a lot
is
of,
straight up disrespectful. Oh yeah,
a lot of people are saying he's a coward, which he is. A lot of people are saying he sucks, which he does. A lot of people are saying True. He's an asshole, which he is. True. A lot of people were saying he deserves to get beaten with hammers in a parking lot.
Bad businessman. Objectively
he,
true.
Exactly. Might be a borderline sociopath, which he might be. But I think that, and he was likely advised this way, that it's a good thing he didn't show up, because if he did, that would mean the whole story. After every face-off, they would do a camera shot to his owner's suite or whatever it passes for an owner's suite in that fucking rec league arena. And it would have been all centered around him looking embarrassed, or him looking sheepish, or him looking weirdly happy, which then would have pissed people off. Then there would have been Morello sucks chants in the whole thing.
Okay, that would have been kind of fun.
It would have been hilarious, but like, it would have taken away from the fact this is supposed to be a celebration. It would be like the guy who murdered your family member showing up to that family member's funeral when you're trying to celebrate them.
You know, often, you know? Who was I talking to? Somebody was doing I went to York with them. They were studying a master's of criminal psychology, and they were saying, like, one of the big things that murderers do is they show up to, like, the vigils or whatever. I'm like, that is
they do.
So screwed up.
No, they do. That's also big.
Like, are we going to see Alex Morello in a baseball cap in Salt Lake City?
That was a major plot point in The Batman, that the Riddler would show up to the funeral of the mayor that he killed. That's when the big bomb thing happened. Greatest movie ever made. Anyway, but
I did enjoy that movie.
I'm glad. But that is like, so I would say it's a good thing he didn't show up, because also, like, if I'm a fan in Arizona, like, this is my life. And I had nothing to lose. If I thought, like, I would try and kick that guy's ass, like, in the stadium, because you're not far away. It's a 45.
Yeah, you could probably huck a beer can.
You could absolutely. You could hit him with a beer can.
Yeah.
From no, even if you're sitting, like, right next to the ice, you're sitting up at the glass.
Oh yeah, if you could, got an arm, you can huck a beer can.
You don't even really need an arm. You just need to wind up. And you know, with a hope and a prayer, and it wouldn't even have to go that far. It's not big. I think about whether or not I could get from, like, I look at it in like as like Rico Coliseum, which has more seats, by the way. You know,
when it's literally Mattamy Athletic Center.
Exactly,
it's Maple Leaf Garden.
Would I be able to throw a beer can semi full, not definitely not empty, but like a semi full beer can from literally like glass seats up to one of the boxes? Absolutely.
Oh, 100%.
And so he would have been escorted out right away. So it's a good thing he didn't show up. The second thing, though, and this is just I have three things to talk about. The second thing is, and this is just the piece de resistance, the number one, like this, it just encapsulates everything about the Morellos and everything that their legacy in owning this team is, that Shane Doan's there. He's there to celebrate. You know you know exactly where I'm going.
Oh my God.
Shane Doan is there, and he's there to celebrate the final game of the team that he basically helped install and was the steward over for 21 years, I believe it was. He, like, his face, his name, everything. He worked for them in their front office and left because they wouldn't let him move up. Like, they wouldn't give him a bigger role.
Yeah, because that Alex Merlo Jr. had to have that role.
Exactly. Duh. Because the Mep, because he had to split that in with between the being the worst
son.
He had to split those duties, the hockey ops duties, in between being the worst social media manager in professional sports. But Shane Doan's there, and he's there to celebrate this team that got murdered by the Morellos. And a fan, this is, again, a fans have to do the all the work here. Fans have to do all the work for the Coyotes.
Outrageous.
A fan finds Shane, like, goes to the dumpster at, like, at a...
So apparently it was a storage room. He came out and, like, corrected that it was a... It was
That's so much better.
It's not better, but... For
at least they didn't throw, there wasn't like banana peels and stuff over it, which is good. But the Arizona Coyotes, when they got kicked out of Gila Arena, by the way, they got kicked out. Like, they, like, it not, it's not official that they got, they didn't get evicted. It's not official. But they got asked to leave. Their lease was not renewed. And most of the time leases are renewed unless it's on the onus of the team going, we have a big complex that we're building.
Generally,
so let's
speaking in business terms, your lease is automatically renewed unless you are an outrageously bad
I work in commercial real estate now. Like I'm telling you, that is the case. Unless you are a really bad tenant, they will just automatically renew your lease. And so, which is where worlds collide with me sometimes. So when they got kicked out of their building, Shane Doan's jersey retirement banner, they left it there. And I saw some people, I saw some reports, and I think it was one guy who was like, the Coyotes, they didn't know that it was left behind. And then another reporter, I believe it's Leah Morrell,
yep,
from PHNX, comes on and said, nope, the Coyotes were informed that Shane Doan's big ass banner was there and no one went to go pick it up.
Man, if that email came through, like, hey, you left Shane Doan's banner here, I would be sending someone within 5 minutes. I would reply and be like, someone, so-and-so is on their way to pick it up. Thank you so much for letting us know.
And it just goes to show, I think this is...
Coyote Matt had to go and retrieve it.
And then give it to Shane Doan, which is a great moment for him and a great moment for Doan. He gets to keep that now. That's great.
And he was just so classy and accepting it. But like, what is going through his head of like...
I would be like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Like, how embarrassing.
Like, it's... And so I think about that and I'm just like, oh my gosh.
What are you doing?
Is that not the biggest encapsulation of what this ownership group was? Where they come out and all they do is say how much they love... We're Arizona natives. How much we love Arizona. How much hockey in the desert means to them. And when you... and when the actions have to speak... have to back up those words, it crumbles.
So, you know, I think you just brought something up that like kind of hit a nerve with me.
Okay.
And this is kind of the only thing I'll say on it. Cause then we get to talk about the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, no, we have to talk about one more thing before we talk about the playoffs.
So you say like Morelos love the Coyotes. They love Arizona. They love Arizona.
That's
hockey.
What they say. Yes.
That's what they say. Here's the thing. And this is something that I learned over the last like couple years and like I've kind of started to like instill in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Love is not a thing that can be thrown around. Love is an action word.
Yeah.
Like if you actually love something or you have love for something, that comes through in your
love
actions.
Is a verb.
Yeah, love is exactly. Love is the act of loving.
We just found our episode title, baby. Love is a verb. There,
like,
we go.
You have to actively work at it in the same way that like in a relationship. Relationships can be tough. You're always going to have to work at things. Well, the relationship between the Arizona Coyotes and the National Hockey League and the state of Arizona and the relationship between the Morelos and everyone in sport needs work. And so they said they love hockey and Arizona or whatever. Their actions said something entirely different. And I forget who it was on Twitter. Maybe it was Abby Mastracco, who basically was like, this is the kind of thing where as an owner, it gets you blackballed from other leagues.
Yeah.
So like the MLB is going to take notice of this. The NFL is going to take notice of this. The NBA is going to take notice of this. MLS is. So this guy, through his actions, may have sewered himself from ever being an owner of any other franchise again. And if the NHL is stupid enough to let him anywhere near one of their teams again, they're going to get exactly what they deserve, because and I genuinely mean when I say this, Paul Bissonnette's point last night, or multiple points that he made at the end of the TNT broadcast, were beautiful.
Yeah, they were.
You can tell that he that cared. Organization means a lot to him. And for him on national television to say, hockey can work in the desert,
absolutely,
but it needs to be under a different owner. Mm-hmm. That is a strong message from a guy who's been a part of that organization, yep, and who works for a national rights holder. That carries weight.
Absolutely.
And you best believe that the NHL should be listening to that.
Well,
that might be the only thing they should listen to him on, but he deserves a ton of credit for what he said last night. And honestly, it came through so meaningful. Like, that guy, action verb, loves the Coyotes.
Yeah, and I think
Tyson Nash too, and Todd Walsh, the end of the broadcast.
I mean,
there.
Tyson Nash did, like, Tyson Nash went on that weird tangent about how Travis Boyd should have beaten the crap out of, like, it was okay for beating the crap out of, yeah, like, Trevor Zegras. I always have looked at him weirdly after that, but, like, whatever. But you're right. Now, the last thing I want to say on this is that, and I believe this is what happened, and they deleted it. But after the game and all the festivities ended and whatnot, the Arizona Coyotes then tweet out, "We'll see you on June 27th.
Yeah, they did.
And then they deleted it. June 27th is the land auction. No one wants to hear about that land auction now.
Yeah, no, nobody cares.
Shut the fuck up. Shut your mouth. Shut your faces. Shut your ears. Shut your eyes.
Shut your nose.
Suffocate. There's a very unhappy dog in the hallway of anyway, but
you
yes.
know what I found out, specific dog, it's probably not going to get picked up on mics, but anyways, there's a dog who lives across the hall from me. It's 16 years old and it's blind.
It's not going to be around for much longer. Yeah. It's okay. But
it's also the yappiest thing ever, which honestly, grumpy old man dog. Fine.
Yeah. But yeah, little yapper. No, thanks. Right. But yeah, so it's a good thing. Listen,
let's talk about the yoffs.
Well, not yet, because the Sabres fired Don Granato.
Okay. So I don't want to spend a ton of time.
We're not going to.
I love Don Granato.
I do too.
As a development coach, I think he did a fantastic job developing the Sabres to where they're at. I wonder if Don Granato is the coach that, like, gets your young players developed and then you hand them off to a different coach to get them sort of over the hump.
So knock, knock, Columbus.
Knock, knock, Columbus.
That's what I said.
Knock, knock, Arizona. Knock, knock, Ottawa.
I love Andre Tourigny. I love Andre Tourigny.
No, but I'm talking about players with, like, teams with young players. Knock, yeah. Knock. Well, I guess Anaheim has a new coach. Chicago has a new coach. So, yeah, okay, fine.
Columbus. I think he'd be good for New Jersey, too.
I think they're going to keep Travis Green.
You think so? I think that's a mistake. But, you know, like, it.
I wouldn't say I think they're going to keep it. I think it's 50-50.
Okay. Well, I think it would be a mistake if they did, if they didn't go out and get, like, I think Don Granato would work really well. I think he's obviously got huge ties to USA Hockey, which is huge for, you know, the Hughes brothers. I think he's really good, like, at reaching young players. I think he's learned a lesson in keeping people accountable here, because a big thing that the Sabres players said after this, you know, in light of the news, is that they really like him. They really like Don.
He's a player's coach.
But they did begin to realize that maybe they weren't being taken or held accountable enough.
Remember Casey Mittelstadt's first comment that the Colorado's morning skates are more difficult than Buffalo Sabres practices?
Exactly.
That's not a great sign.
It's not. Like, so Connor Clifton, for example, keep in mind, Connor Clifton played in Boston for a while.
Sturdy program
as
around.
Sturdy, like the best culture, I think, in the league that they've developed. And he goes, the coaching change, I mean, I'm going to miss Don Granato, obviously, but at the same time, I'm excited to see who is going to come in, a new voice, a new opportunity for the Buffalo Sabres to make the playoffs. He said, there was another one, is we need a hard, accountable new voice.
Dean Evason, come on down!
Dean Evason would be perfect for them.
Him or Craig Berube, how we doing here?
Yeah, Craig Berube, Dean Evason, either one of those would
be
perfect.
I think Dean Evason is probably the perfect fit there.
I think if the Leafs bow out in the first round, Dean Evason is exactly what they need if they keep any of the core guys. Like, yeah. You know, stuff like that. But anyway.
And
Sabres.
I'm not going to say that it's going to happen, but, like, let's be honest here. Neither one of us will be shocked if Joel Quenneville has a job on an NHL bench next year.
Well, Mark Lazarus wrote a piece saying, basically assuming that it doesn't seem like Joel Quenneville is going to have a job soon. Like, it seems.
But I wouldn't be.
You wouldn't be shocked, but it doesn't seem likely, which is good.
Right.
I think the league at least.
I'm not opining.
Definitely.
I know. Don't take it that way.
But I think at least the league is realizing, even if doing it for PR reasons is not the right reasons, I think they're realizing we can't take another image hit like that. But yeah, the Sabres, they haven't made the playoffs in 13 years. That's the current longest streak, which is insane to think about. That is an eighth grader. You know, they're,
oh my God, yeah.
Like if they miss it for another year, their playoff drought will be heading into high school. Granato had a 122-125-27 record in four full seasons. And listen, he was exactly what they needed at the time when he came. But you're right. He did seem like a great sort of, I would say, like janitor, like mopping up the mess there and then sort of building a foundation.
Yep.
But then someone else will take him over.
He's
the
a good foundation guy. And you know what? You need those guys. Those guys are important. One guy who I think is going to get an NHL shot, maybe not next year, but pretty soon here. Mm-hmm. David Carl.
Head
coach at Denver University.
Yes,
I do.
I've heard good things. I've heard rumblings.
It's rare. I've not heard a bad thing about him from a single player that's come out of Denver.
Damn.
Not one thing.
There you go.
So, I mean, guys love to play for him. That's why guys are going back to play for him. So I think when you look at it, he's going to get a shot at some point. He's young. He's like 35 years old or something like that. I wouldn't be shocked if he's back coaching the World Junior team this year, but I think that's a guy that deserves an NHL shot. When you win multiple NCAA championships and World Juniors, like, there's not really much left to win.
To be fair, if I got to play college hockey in Denver, I wouldn't have bad things to say about most people. I'd be pretty happy, but he's a very good coach. I've heard. Just
like his recruiting practices, apparently how he deals with families, how his players are treated. And most importantly, from the people on like the college hockey circuit, he actually holds those guys accountable to be good citizens in the community.
Good, which is exactly what
you need.
And I
think that's very important.
Very important. All right, Rachel, let's talk about the Yoffs.
The Yoffs,
bruh. We're going to do Eastern Conference this week. And we're going to do Western Conference Western Conference on Monday. Tuesday.
Well, whenever, it'll drop Tuesday.
Exactly. So why don't we get started? Panthers, Lightning, the Battle of Florida, Florida man versus Florida man. Two places that I've been to way too many times in the past 2 years for work. Whether it was the All-Star game, whether it was the Stanley Cup final, whether it was, the Cup final and all that. I never want to go back to either of these two places, but they're playing each other. What we're gonna do is we're gonna go through. Rachel and I are gonna give each other our series predictions. What we think the X factor is gonna be in the series. Give our MVP pick, and obviously there'll be analysis thrown in there as well. Rachel,
yeah, we got stuff up on Instagram.
Series prediction.
Yeah. So season head to head, Florida leads 2-1. So I want this series to be what the series a couple years ago was, which was just like an all out melee.
Yeah.
And I think given the characters on both sides of the matchup, there is a propensity.
No Radko Gudas, though.
Matthew Tkachuk and Nick Cousins exist,
I know,
my
but
guy.
But Radko Gudas, like, he, there was,
I'm a sure they'll figure out a way.
Certain je ne sais quoi about his shithousery.
So there's a couple of things here. Florida has the best 5-on-5 goals against per 60 in the league, 1.88, which is astonishing. That is so good. And Tampa's power play, 26% on the season. Holy shit. So I would say from that perspective, the difference is Andrei Vasilevsky was human this year, and Sergei Bobrovsky had another good year. But we've all seen what happens when Sergei Bobrovsky turns into a pumpkin.
Yep.
It's bad.
Yep.
I'm not saying that that's going to happen.
But it can happen.
I think the X factor in this series is, how will Tampa's defense handle Florida's depth? That is going to be the X factor.
They're pretty thin on D.
If Bobrovsky blows up, Florida doesn't have a chance.
Yeah.
Because Kucherov and Point and Stamkos are going to score at will.
But no Sergachev is tough. No Sergachev is tough.
That's a big one.
That is a big one. So,
yeah.
So give me your thing.
I'm going to go.
You have to give me your prediction.
Florida in 7.
I have Tampa in 7.
Yeah. Like, I think this is 7.
I think this is going 7. This is definitely, I know we said this about last year, but this is definitely the weakest Tampa team we've seen.
And yet, like, are either of us going to be surprised if they win?
Absolutely not. I'm picking them to win, so I would not be surprised.
I have a bet on them to make the cup final.
That's wild, but because I can see that hitting.
Because if Andrei Vasilevskiy does his shit,
that's my X factor and MVP. Is like, I think that when you go into the playoffs, like we've seen it so many times, a good goalie can turn a mediocre team into a contender. And so, like, Andrei Vasilevskiy is at his peak, the best goalie in the league.
Is he good?
He's very, very, good, very right? good. He's arguably the best goalie of this current generation. Like, he's up there with Carey Price.
Certainly in the playoffs, he is.
Yes. Like, he's battling out with Carey Price. Carey Price doesn't have a Stanley Cup. Andrei Vasilevskiy is two.
Well, okay, so Carey Price also had a garbage pile and still got his team to the cup final, which is, that is, honestly, I look back at that COVID cup run, and I'm like, the fact that that Montreal
team, I can't believe that, like,
got to the cup final against Tampa is astounding.
Well, even like if you look at the teams that they beat along the way, like the Leafs,
they
that
had was no business beating the Leafs or the Jets, frankly.
No business being the Leafs or the Jets or even Vegas.
Or like, Vegas.
It's crazy. Like, it was nonsense. And Vasilevskiy is my MVP pick. Like, absolutely. He is the, like, he at the, like I just
totally
said.
See that happening.
So I think that, like, I'm not saying that Bobrovsky is going to melt down, but there is a chance that Bobrovsky turns into a pumpkin. He's a very volatile goalie. If he falls off, they're screwed. I think Vasilevskiy, there's a chance that he can go from being, you know, like upper echelon to, you know, generational in a heartbeat. And I think he can turn it on. All right, Rachel.
Who's my MVP?
Who's your MVP?
Sasha Barkov. I think.
Yeah.
When you look at it, that line, him and Sam Reinhart, two of the best defensive players, defensive forwards in the league this year. Florida is so deep up front and Tampa isn't. If Barkov and Reinhart are able to effectively shut down Kucherov, which basically means keep him at a point a game and nothing more, I think that that's going to win them the series, because Tampa basically, like, they don't have the horses to compete down the lineup that they used to have and that Florida has right now. Like, Florida has Vladimir Tarasenko on the third line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy town.
And he's fit in really well with them.
Yeah, they got Carter Verhaeghe coming back now. Like, they... I think Sam Reinhart and Sasha Barkov, but specifically Sasha Barkov, because he is going to be tasked with shutting down that line. I think if he can do that and score, they're going to be a huge issue.
He's also motivated because he didn't have a great offensive playoffs last year.
He didn't. He was fantastic defensively.
He was fantastic defensively, but he didn't have a great offense. So he's going to be wanting to get chip in a bit more. Yeah, I think so. Okay, moving on. Rangers and Capitals. Rangers are playing, by definition, the worst playoff team in
ever make the playoffs.
To ever make the playoffs.
Minus 37 goal differential.
I want you all to wrap your heads around that for a second.
Do you want to know a fun fact?
I would love to know a fun fact.
If we look at goal differential, there are only two teams in the Eastern Conference that have a worse goal differential than Washington. Montreal and Columbus. They have a worse goal differential by 11 than the Ottawa Senators,
That's
who are
crazy.
-26.
And a fun fact about the Senators, Rachel. Fun fact with the Senators. They fucking suck.
Yeah.
So that's pretty bad.
It's not great. Obviously, but hey, loser points are cool, right?
Now I have.
Whereas, like, Pittsburgh had a +4, Detroit had a +4.
I believe Philly had a positive one at the end of the day.
I'm not 100% sure, but
most of the teams that were on that bubble had plus.
I'm gonna check that right now. Okay, you look at this series; they're gonna get curb stomped.
So I actually have them. I have the Rangers in 5. And the reason why I didn't go for a sweep here is because the Rangers, although they won the President's Trophy this year,
The Flyers were -26.
Oh, well, then I'm fucking stupid. but the thing about the Rangers is that although they won the President's Trophy this year, they really seem to have turned a corner. They were playing very well under Peter Laviolette. This team is very good at shooting themselves in the foot occasionally. Like, they're very good at just kind of like tripping over their own balls, as I like to call it. Or sitting on their own balls, as I like to call it. And so I believe that they will bungle a game. They will likely be up 3-0, and then
it'll
some,
be 3-1,
and then they'll make it 3-1, and then they'll be like, all right, guys, let's pull it together and just beat the shit out of them. But yeah, I think it is. I think I'm going Rangers in 5. If it wasn't for that gnawing sort of this Rangers team can maybe take the foot off the gas at certain points, I wouldn't. You know, I would say sweep, but yeah.
I'm going to read you some stats because they're crazy town. The difference, like the chasmic difference between these two teams, is, it's so funny. 5-on-5 goals per 60, 2.51 to 2.1.
Woohoo!
Power play, 26%, 20%. Penalty kill, 85%, 79%.
Oof.
5-on-5 expected goals for neither team particularly good, but 49% to 45%.
That just, sorry, the fact that like the Caps have like a 70, what'd you say, 79% penalty kill?
Yeah.
That just makes the Leafs so much more depressing.
It's just,
we'll get there, but like, man, that's
the Rangers
just,
are better in every facet of the game. They're deeper in goal. They're deeper on defense. They're yeah. deeper up front. Their stars are, there are, because let's face it, Alex Ovechkin can still score goals, but he is totally
that he, that's all he does.
That's pretty much what yeah. he does. Right. At every single position up and down the lineup, they're the Rangers better. Have the better player.
Yeah.
There is no scenario. Their backup goaltender is better than the Capitals' starting goaltender. Their mm-hmm. starting goaltender is also better than the Caps' starting goaltender. Then you look at Fox, Trouba, Miller, Schneider, Lindgren, which underrated story, the Lindgren brothers playing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And first playoff series since the Panarin-Wilson incident. Which I am...
I'm interested to see because there will be some hate there, but
Tom
I think...
Tom Wilson in the playoffs, give to me.
Yeah, but I also think... And this will be, this could be their undoing, but I like, because the, I think the only thing that can stop the Rangers from winning is here is if Tom Wilson gets in their heads and they just melt down, like yeah. they throw a hissy fit. However, they now have Matt Rempe to go out there and
kick some booty,
basically put Wilson in his grave.
So yeah, we both agree that the Rangers are going to curb stomp them.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was a sweep, but, yes, but I have I'm Rangers five. At five. I actually yeah. have a correct score series bet on Rangers
oh, wow.
4-1. X factor in this series
is... I just have depth.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, they're overwhelming.
They're just, they're better.
They're just so much better. It's
but
overwhelming.
I think this might be the Alexi Lafreniere coming out party.
Oh, I like that pick. Yeah. I like that pick.
I think this is the Alexi Lafreniere coming out party.
I have Zibanejad because that guy turns it on in the playoffs. Like, he... He can Zibanejad is he's a very good player in his own right. Don't get me wrong.
He goes Coco Loco in the playoffs.
But in the playoffs, like he can become like the story. So I have that. But I would not. That is a great pick. It's a great pick. All right.
All right.
Hurricanes and Isles. Most boring series that could possibly be played.
Of last season, we get the Canes and the Isles. Now, Isles also poor score differential, minus 17. Obviously better under Patrick Waugh. They had a lot of catching up to do.
Hey, Patrick Waugh coaching a playoff series. That's pretty cool.
I'm
I like that.
So underrated part of this series.
Versus Rod Brind'Amour?
Yeah. Underrated storyline here. Two of the most emotionally charged coaches mm-hmm. in the league.
I like it.
It is going to be... there's going to be at least one meltdown.
Yeah.
At least one meltdown.
There will be one like stanchion shaking like between the benches.
Coco
I like
Loco.
That.
So here, let's do some stats.
Let's do some stats.
5-on-5 goals for per 60, relatively even.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
5-on-5 goals against per 60. The Canes have a slight advantage there. okay. The penalty kills.
Yeah, so here's the funny, here's the crazy thing is that everyone paints the Isles as being like the sort of the metapod, can't score, which they can't really, but like can't score.
They have one line
but
they can score.
But they defend like crazy. Their penalty kill sucks.
So Carolina's penalty kill finished number one in the NHL at 86.5%.
That's nuts. That's crazy.
The New York Islanders' penalty kill finished dead last.
Yeah, worst penalty kill in the league.
15% lower. You want to find an X factor? That's your X factor.
Yeah.
That situation right there. 5-on-5 expected goals for share, though.
I'm saying which team is more likely to take penalties?
The
Isles. Exactly.
Carolina's expected goals for at 5-on-5 this year, like their goal share.
What is it?
57%.
Holy Toledo.
Mashed the rest of the league. The closest team was 55. Like, they were... Hilarious. The Islanders, respectable 50%. It was better than the Rangers.
Holy guacamole.
And both teams have normalized PDOs. So, both coming in on like kind of equal playing fields. I think the difference with Carolina this year is they have that scoring depth. You look at it, Marty Nichaj on the third line, Andrei Svechnikov on the second line, and then Jake Gensel on the first line with Aho and Jarvis. Plus, you've got really good defensive forwards in Seth Jarvis and Jordan Staal, whereas with the Islanders, they've got one line. It's the Horvat-Barzal line that can really do damage. And if Ilya Sorokin doesn't figure it the hell out, they don't have a chance.
Yeah, there. I have Canes in six because I think that the Isles are going to be just so annoying that they'll squeak two wins out just out of sheer, like, go away, but they won't. And also they have Sorokin, who I do think will figure it out. But like, the Canes, I mean, this is, like, the best Canes, the most balanced, I would say, Canes team
we've seen. Their defensive depth is hilarious.
Their defensive depth is hilarious, but their offensive, like, we all knew that their defensive depth was good. Like, that's been their calling card.
Is a huge, he's my X factor in this series.
He's my MVP pick and my X factor. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would say from a player perspective, he's my MVP pick. The X factor in the series is the power play versus the penalty kill.
Yeah. Mine's like basically Carolina's new offensive attack, because keep in mind, Evgeny Kuznetsov too. It's a guy who's been there. He's done that. You know, but I think Jake Gensel
has been there and done all that.
Although Kuznetsov is, like, both Kuznetsov and Gensel have ended each other's seasons before.
Yep.
And I think that they're both very, like, if you can sort of quantify clutch, which you can't really, but if you can, these two guys rise in big moments.
Yep.
And I think
that's what Carolina's been missing.
And I think Kuznetsov is going to be extremely energized to be back in the big show, back in the playoffs, playing meaningful hockey.
Yep.
But Gensel, I mean, that guy is just, he's a fucking stud. Like, he's a gamer.
And
there's no quantitative analysis for me here. He's just a friggin' gamer, and I think he will do very well.
As Rod Brindamore says, he gets it done.
Gets it done. And all right, Rachel.
Maximum pain. Here we go.
Leafs and Bruins. It could only be one way.
So we're getting, I'm honestly thrilled about the Eastern Conference and how it's kind of shaken out in the first round. We're getting the 1-8 matchups.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not getting a reseed for the second round. So we're getting that. So everyone who's supposed to have home ice advantage has home ice advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also getting the Battle of Florida.
Yep.
The
Rod Canes, the Bod versus Patrick Roy.
Exactly, which is a rematch of last year. And then we're getting this series.
We're getting Leafs and Bruins.
Which is going to be far and away the most emotional, nasty series. Them and the Florida Tampa is going to be.
I think it'll be even. I think Leafs. But I think Leafs. Worse.
Which, here's a fun one. Instead of X Factor, which Leaf is getting suspended, and why is it Max Domi?
You know who's getting suspended if he plays, which I think they'll put him in because it's Boston. I would like, and I don't know if you can bet on this, but like
you can't.
I would bet a good chunk of money that Joel Edmondson is sitting for a game.
It, you know what's so funny? Because he cross-checked Wayne Simmons in the head like 18 times in that Montreal-Toronto series.
And never got called.
Nary a minor penalty.
He will cross-check
David Pastrnak, not even Brad David, Marchand.
Not even that. Like he will cross-check like Charlie Coyle or someone in the head. And all the Boston reporters who like... Who drink blood when they wake up in the morning will go, oh, we can't have this in the game. Oh, you know, no, this is, oh, my stars. Oh, my heavens. And they will, and he will get suspended for at least a game. I get like that or Lyubushkin.
Over under 1.5 suspensions in the series. Not games, of players.
I'm going to go under. But like I think there will be one suspension. It will be Joel Edmondson. He will get suspended 2 games for an insane cross check to someone in the head.
Okay, so my suspension pick is Max Domi because, similar to Kadri, he gets the Ty Domi red mist rage, and he is a Toronto boy who has been very vocal about the fact that he wants to win here, and that's all he cares about.
Mm.
I could absolutely see the tie genes going a little squirrely. I hope it's not the case, though, because when he's healthy and playing with Matthews, I honestly think Matthews didn't get 70 because he was playing with Marner instead of Domi for the last 2 games.
Good thing that we're paying that guy 10.893. Yeah. Good. No, 9.93. Yeah, like, it's a very, very good thing that, you know, Max Domi, guy who's played on 7 teams in the last 8 years or whatever, who's making $3 million in a 1 year deal, is a better fit alongside your superstar. Really great.
I mean, from a balance perspective, being able to put Marner, Matthews, and Nylander on 3 separate lines, just like we talked about with Carolina just now, ideal. So, like, super cool. Just don't get suspended.
Yeah.
Now, okay, let's talk about the series. I got stats.
Hit me with stats.
So, the Leafs have an edge at 5-on-5, goals for,
mm-hmm.
3 goals per 60, sorry, to Boston's 2.68.
Now, 2 of those goals, even strength goals per game, are actually all Auston Matthews. I'm not sure if you knew that.
5-on-5 goals against, though, and this is where the goaltending matters, 2 goals per 60, Bruins, 2.5 for the Leafs. The X factor in this series is once again,
yep,
the goaltending. The power play is 2% difference.
Who are you starting in game one if you're the Leafs?
Samsonov.
Yeah?
Yeah. The penalty kill is a 5% difference. Boston, 82.5. Toronto, 77. Not good, but Toronto is better at 5-on-5.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. And I was talking to a couple of people in Boston, and I was talking to a couple of math nerds that work in Toronto. And the general consensus here is Toronto is the better team, mm-hmm. in terms of Auston Matthews better than Charlie Coyle. There is one Boston forward that's better than, like,
and it's David Pastrnak.
Exactly. Yep. Like, you would take a number of Toronto forwards over anyone on Boston, save for Pastrnak and maybe a couple for Marchand.
Yeah.
But, like, outside of that, like, Charlie Coyle and Pavel Zacha, there is no scenario where the Leafs should lose that battle. So where they're going to come undone...
goaltending.
...is goaltending and between the ears. So I pulled 10 people that are in and around both the Leafs and the Bruins, 5 each. 7-3, they said they think Toronto's winning. And the most common answer was Toronto in 6. And I said, what if it goes 7? And every single one of them said Toronto cannot win in 7. So if Toronto doesn't win in 6, they're not winning in 7. So if it goes to 7, just pack it up. Thanks for coming.
I have the opposite.
You have Toronto in 7?
I have Toronto in 7. I think they will finally slay their demon. And because they have a lot of guys who have not been around for those disappointments. Domi wasn't around. Bertuzzi wasn't around. I even think
Edmondson
wasn't around.
Giordano not around.
Yarncroke wasn't around. Like, guys like
Reeves
that.
Reeves not around.
Ryan Reeves not around. Stuff like that. Connor Dewar even. Like, guys like that. I think that this is, like, eventually, just mathematically, eventually you face an eliminate, like, you face a do
even
or
Matthew
die.
Nyes hasn't been around for that.
Matthew Nyes, all that. But eventually,
he's won around in his first year. He's won.
Exactly.
For
it's crazy. The guy knows nothing but winning. But, like, eventually, if you walk into the same situation against the same team in the same sort, in the same, like, constraints, even possibly even the same building, like, it, not possibly.
That's
in,
a house of horrors.
In
for
the
them.
Same building. They've never, like, they're always.
They cannot win at the Garden.
In TD Garden Game 7. They eventually can. You are pulling it out. And on top of that, and I know that the players don't know this, but just in terms of being of, like, the universe, the vibes.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jack Edwards' last year. Says retiring after this year.
Which is why I'm like, they're going to go on a run.
But would it not be the most poetic thing in the world?
Oh.
If the Toronto Maple Leafs end Jack Edwards' career by knocking the Bruins out. Last ever game.
Oh my God.
I think it just lines up too perfectly. Again, there's no mathematics behind that. That's just pure vibes. But it lines up too perfectly. In
mathematically,
my
model has it at 51-49.
For who?
For the Bruins. Just because of home ice. If Toronto had home ice, it'd be 54-46 in favor of the Leafs.
I think eventually,
because the Leafs team strength wise are better, but because Boston mm-hmm. has home ice, it flipped.
Yeah. I think 100%. Eventually, if you walk into the same situation enough times, you're going to eventually come out
so
on top.
Then here's your question then.
Mm-hmm.
They lose in 7.
I kill myself.
Okay. They lose in seven.
Yeah.
Who goes?
Marner. Without a doubt.
Keith?
Expiring contract. Keith's gone, for sure. Keith's gone. I would say Malhotra, Chenoth, they're gone.
You keep Guy Boucher, though.
I think you keep Guy Boucher if he wants to stay.
Yeah.
But
I think you and I both agree.
Marner's gone.
If they lose in the first round this year,
Marner's
substantial changes are coming.
Marner is for sure gone. Like, for sure gone. I honestly think there's a chance Brendan Shanahan's gone. The MLSE has a new CEO.
Keith Pelley, yeah.
He's in there, and he's not a shy man. He demands a lot. If they come in and they blow it, like, Keith's gone. I think Brendan Shanahan might be gone. Like Marner is for sure gone. He's coming
in. But he's got a no move.
I know, but like, you figure it out.
Oh, there's places he'll want to go.
Yeah. Like, you'd be like, we'll trade you.
I think kind of what I'm getting at here is like,
he's got a new move, but
don't want to overreact to a playoff series. But at some point, the sample size is now.
This is not overreacting. This is almost
work anymore.
This is not overreacting to one playoff series. Like, how many, if you lose to the Boston Bruins for the third time in 6 years in the first round of the playoffs,
you're done
with the exact same core. You're done. No more of this. It's been almost a decade of this core. Like, it's been 8 or 9 years.
You've got to get it done.
Exactly.
You have to get it done.
And so, like, if they lose, like, they will go to Marner and they will say, listen, I know you have a no move, so you can dig your heels in or whatever. Like, we will make life difficult for you, basically.
Yeah.
Like, you're going into the last year of your deal here.
You know what? I think it depends. Because I think, let's say, he's been not great in the playoffs.
He's been fucking awful in the playoffs. No, he's not being not great. He's been terrible.
Let's say they lose to the Bruins, but Marner has 2 points a game, and it was really just the goaltending that was, like, horrendous. Like, if Matthews scores 7 goals in 7 games, and Marner has 12 points, and Nylander has 10 points, and, like, whatever, then you can sit here and you can say, it truly was not on them, because if the Leafs are giving up 5 goals a game, mm-hmm. there is nothing that any of those guys can do.
I don't care.
Right? But at some point, the construction of the team is not good enough.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, I don't care.
And you finally have a GM who isn't tied to many of these players. What I'm interested to see,
Brendan Shanahan's gone if they lose in the first round.
What I'm most interested to see is how the guys that Tree Living brought in perform in the playoffs. Because
that's the reason they were brought in.
Right. Joel Edmondson, Max Domi, Tyler Bertuzzi.
Ilya Lyubushkin.
Oh, God, that's so scary. Because we already know Jake McCabe is good in the playoffs. Morgan Riley turns into
a crazy
metapod
incredible.
In the playoffs.
No, he doesn't turn into metapod.
Or, sorry, what is the Pokemon that is like,
this all defense?
That's like crazy psycho when they evolve.
Oh, it's Gyarados.
Thank you. He turns into a Gyarados in the playoffs.
He's no Magikarp in the regular season either. He's pretty good, but he is Gyarados. He does.
He goes nuclear he in does. The playoffs. It's nuts, right? Mm-hmm. Nylander's always been good in the playoffs, too.
Nylander always. That's the thing that
he's
all
Teflon
of,
because he just doesn't read anything. He genuinely doesn't give a
Nylander
fuck.
Nylander just stopped giving a shit for the last week of the season, the last 2 weeks of the year.
I actually don't have a problem with
that. I don't have a problem with that either. There's no, you're not going to change your seed. So he's like, I don't care.
If you're a point per game in the playoffs, nobody's going to give a crap about your high sticking game 82 because it doesn't mean jack fuck.
And he will be jack fuck. And he will be, though. Like, but at this point, like, I genuinely, it's been 8 years. I believe this is the 8th year of the same core doing the same things. And we've seen contract holdouts. We've seen milking as much possible value as you can get.
We've seen agents and dads.
Agents, dads, handlers, security guys, like all that, all the bullshit. At the end of the day, I don't care if Mitch Marner goes out and he scores like a hat trick every single game. If they still lose, you're fucking gone. And I don't care. I don't care.
Mike doesn't care. I want to say I don't necessarily agree.
I'm done
agree
because something in the construction of that team is flawed. And
yeah, I think you have to go find a goalie at that point. Like, you need to trade for like Jacob Markstrom or somebody of that.
Well, is Markstrom not a free agent this year?
No, next year. He has 1 year left.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was going into UFA.
No, that's why New Jersey wants him. They want to trade for him so that they get the negotiating power.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you go and you trade for him. You go and you try to figure out, like, you're not getting Hellebuck, but like you go because he just re-signed, but like I would say you go to Nashville and you go, I will give you whatever you want for UC Saros, like, or something like that. Or, you know, I don't even know. Like, you go to Vegas.
So Aiden Hill's already signed, so you get Logan Thompson.
Yeah. Like,
if the Leafs win, let's say 2 weeks from now, we're sitting here, the Leafs have won.
Great.
What went right? What happened? What's the storyline? What are we talking about?
The stars stepped up. Like what went right is that Matthew scored 7 goals in 7 games. And Mitch Marner looked present all the time. You know, Mitch Marner didn't accidentally shoot a puck over the stands and then cry in the penalty box like he did that time, like a little bitch, like, you know, stuff like that. Like,
I think the story is that the goaltending held up.
Oh, and I was gonna say, like Ilya Samsonov provided .915 save percentage goaltending,
because that's realistic, or that's what they need,
you know. And you know what I think in this, like,
actually, they don't even need .915. They need timely saves.
No, but I'm saying I believe, like, there's something in me that thinks that Samsonov is going to start game one. He's not going to be that very good. I think he's going to start game one, and the Leafs are going to lose 5-2, and he's going to let in 5 goals and 25 shots. So they'll put in Joseph Woll, and Joseph Woll will go on a run. That's what I think is going to happen.
He's so even-keeled
that
I think you could be right.
And if you looked at how he performed last year in the most difficult circumstances you can possibly put a rookie goaltender into, his first ever playoff action in an elimination game at home. Well, actually, elimination game on the road and then at home. And he performed freaking incredible in both of those games. Against the Florida Panthers, a team that's actively trying to kill you whenever they get on the ice. I think he goes on. Like, if the Leafs win the Stanley Cup this year, it's Joseph Woll that's in net
that assessment I agree with.
And so I think
I don't think they're gonna win the cup, for the record.
Who knows, man? Like, so it's but my series MVP pick, though, it's gonna be Tyler Bertuzzi. This is first of all, former team,
yep,
playing against, and this is exactly, literally, like, down to a T, the opponent, the situation, everything, why they signed him. They didn't sign him for the regular season. If they did, that's a horrible contract, because he did not produce at all. He scored, ended up with, like, what, like 12 goals or something? Like, not great.
But if he scores 5 goals in round one, you're like, oh, who cares?
They signed him to perform in the playoffs. In the offs. That is the entire rationale behind why they gave him $5.5 million this year. Same thing with Max Domi. But Tyler Bertuzzi has always performed in the playoffs. And even last year, in the terrible collapse that the Bruins did against the Panthers,
he was good.
He had 10 points in 7 games.
Yeah, he was good.
He's not my X factor, because obviously the goaltending is the X factor, but he is my MVP pick. If the Leafs end up winning, he is their series MVP, because he chips in like 6 goals.
So we agree 9 points. Generally speaking, the goaltending is the X factor here.
My
player X factor.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that this is the X factor, but he can't not be. Marchand, Bradley. That guy, he said today he was a Leafs fan growing up and that Darcy Tucker was his favorite player. I'm like, well, that tracks.
I could tell that just
basically modern day Darcy Tucker.
I could tell that just by looking at him. Like, yeah, I just, like, I, like, not even on the ice, by the way he stands.
If we're sitting here in 2 weeks and the Leafs lose the series, it's because Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak were doing, like, they were on their shtick.
Mm-hmm.
They were, whether it is David Pastrnak sniping 8 goals, or it's Brad Marchand who is getting under the skin and causing red mist rage and causing suspensions and all that nonsense, that's the guy.
I think the likes of, like, I know Domi gets red mist, but he's never been stupid in his discipline.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, he doesn't have a ton of supplemental discipline under his belt. Neither does Tyler Bertuzzi. And also, obviously, you have Ryan Reeves there.
Now that you've said that, they're both getting exactly suspended.
But now that you have Tyler Bertuzzi, you have Joel Edmondson, guys like that. So I think that there's like more there, where I think there's more in the sense of, like, if they try and do that shithousery, like, I think Ryan Reeves is at least going to be on the bench being like, okay,
not up in here.
Like, I'll go out and I'll just beat him with a hammer. Like, I'll go, like, I'll go out there and I'll just, like, put him in the ground.
What was interesting this year that I noticed about the Leafs that's been different in years past is they have guys on each line now that are willing to be, like, dickheads.
Yeah.
Matthew Nyes is like, I'll be a dickhead.
Matthew
Nyes
can be a little scumbag.
Tyler Bertuzzi is a grade A dickhead, and I absolutely love it.
Max Domi can do that. Obviously Ryan Reeves.
Obviously. And then on defense, Jake McCabe, Joel Edmondson, apparently Morgan Rielly.
Like Morgan Rielly. Apparently Morgan Rielly is like the most vicious and violent hockey player who's ever played. Got stuff like that. But I think even
part of that could help.
Absolutely.
Because you're going in.
They're much more.
This series is going to get played in the alley.
Yeah, they're much more like weathered, like worn and weathered and like are and a, I even like, think resilient. Like,
Matthew's willingness to engage in stuff now. Yeah. He's not. Remember before how he would be grabbed and he'd be laughing and smirking and Don Cherry would hate it?
He used to think he was above it. I think he's realizing he's not above the shithousery now. Like
He has to get his hands dirty.
Yeah, I think he realizes he has to get his hands dirty.
But no punching. The gloves stay on in the playoffs. Austin, they stay on.
But he fought Steven Stamkos. To be fair though, like Stamkos didn't even take his gloves off. He just started chicken shit bitch move. But I think it's gonna be interesting.
I'm so excited for the first round. The first round of the NHL.
It's the best.
Well,
it's the best because we have like the playoffs are kicking off. The NBA playoffs are kicking off. MLB just kicked up. The NFL draft is about to happen.
Quickly.
It's awesome.
So we got two series in the West, which we're going to do the full West preview next week. But we know Colorado and the Jets are playing, which is going to be a crazy series.
It's going to be great, yeah.
And we got the Preds and the Canucks. Quickly.
Yeah.
What series are you most looking forward to?
Oilers-Vegas.
Oh, man, if that happens, that's going to be so hot. Who's your cup pick right today?
Colorado.
Okay, mine's Dallas.
Oh, fuck. No, I'm still sticking with Colorado, but Dallas.
I was between Colorado and Dallas. Who's your Conn Smythe pick?
Nathan McKinnon.
Fair.
Yeah. Who's yours? Miro Heiskanen?
Jake Oettinger.
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that.
If Jake Oettinger is, quote, on his shit.
Yeah, you know what?
That's going to be a problem.
This thing is the Avs don't have the goaltending. But then again, they didn't have the goaltending when they won the cup anyway. So, who cares?
Yeah, but when Nathan McKinnon goes Coco Loco, it doesn't even matter.
Well, and you have Kale McCarr, and you went out and got Sean Walker just for fun, stuff like that.
Devin Taves.
Yeah, you have Devin Taves, but I'm saying you just went out, you got Sean Walker for fun, you didn't need him.
Casey Mittelstadt for fun.
You got Casey Mittelstadt. That was the biggest downfall was no second line center. Yeah, Casey Mittelstadt's been fine there. Stuff like that. I even like Yakov Trenin. He's great for the playoffs. Stuff like that. So I'm excited.
Man, if we had an Oilers Vegas series, that'd be awesome.
But Oilers Vegas is looking like it's going to be very likely.
I want Oilers LA.
I might have even took if I was a riskier man, I would have taken Vegas to repeat.
I could see that
because Hurdle's back and playing. It's the playoffs now. Obviously, you have Stone. That's a really good hockey team.
We don't know how healthy he's going to be.
No, but he's activated.
Right, but let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
He's probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, but he is.
Probably shouldn't be.
He wouldn't be the first player in, I was on the ice for Colorado specifically. And obviously with Vegas. But I saw Valery Nichushkin's significant other have to push him from scrum to scrum because he could not move his foot.
Yeah,
The adrenaline had worn off and he could not move. And so she had to literally push him like an old person in a home. It was crazy. Anyway,
either way, we're getting some unbelievable first round series, yeah. Right? We've got Florida, Tampa, we've got Toronto, Boston, we've got Colorado, Winnipeg, whoever the Oilers play, whether it's the Kings or the Vegas, and I think underrated, the Canucks and Preds is going to be.
It's going to be great.
Because you got Saros, Demko.
And you know what, too? And you know why, too? Sick. I've been seeing a lot of Canucks fans, when they locked in the Preds as their opponent, I saw a lot of Canucks fans going, sweet, we have a first round bye.
Oh, no.
And I think.
You can't be talking like that when you haven't made the real playoffs.
But the number one thing with Nashville, the number one thing with Nashville that I said at the start of the year, and keep in mind, I had terrible preseason predictions, but this is the one that I think might be my one saving grace is that Nashville, they might not make the playoffs, but if they make the playoffs, they can do some serious damage, because that is a lineup, a roster that is like designed for playoff hockey to wear you
and
down.
That building fucking sucks mm-hmm. to play in as an opponent. Ryan, that is a rowdy building.
Ryan O'Reilly is now like a point per game player again. He's one of the best two-way forwards or two-way players in general
yeah.
in the league again. He's at full strength. He doesn't have to deal with a broken foot and then also a broken finger like he did with the Leafs yeah. last year. He's going to make some noise. Luke Shen's going to make some noise. You have Juuse Saros, Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg.
That's going to be a really good series.
It's going to be good. But Vegas Oilers, I want that to happen so bad. Anyway, that's the end of the show. Subscribe to us on YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, you know, any sort of podcatcher you can possibly find. And also donate to Jumpstart, our charity of choice. Jumpstart helps economically disadvantaged kids play team sports, which is extremely important to Rachel and I, and something that we care about very deeply. All the links for any of the donations will be in the description of this episode. So if you were able to, please follow that and donate, and we will see you on Tuesday.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.